Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He's raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord. The psalm, Psalm 148, is the psalm that we're going to be focusing on this morning. And we're doing things a little different again. Just like the rest of the morning, this is not a sermon today. This is just a little devotional that I want to do with you from Psalm 148. This is one of my favorite psalms, and it's a very important psalm within the Psalter. So at the end of the book of Psalms, you may have noticed this before, especially if you went through the reading plan with us. There are five books. That specifically five chapters that focus on praising the Lord. At the beginning and end, it says praise the Lord for each of those. And Psalm 148 finds itself in the center of all this, and it's a very important psalm. Now, a reminder, if you haven't been with us, we've been going through this summer series called Summer in the Psalms all summer long. This is week 15, which means we're wrapping it up. And I don't know about you guys, but I've had fun doing this sermon series. I've enjoyed it. It's been a blessing. It's also a little sad to see it end. It means officially that summer is over and we are in the fall. And for me, that's a bummer because I'm somebody, you know, you might be one of those weird people who prefer fall to summer. But I'm somebody who likes shorts and flip-flops, you know, not hoodies and bonfires. Okay, that's me. I'm a summer guy. So I'm bummed that it's ending, but I'm thankful that this is the very last week we have the chance to just focus on, I think, a very important psalm. So as I mentioned, Psalm 148, it's centrally located. It's called one of the Hallelujah Psalms, and there's a reason for that. That phrase, praise the Lord, which begins Psalm 148 and ends Psalm 148, those are three words in English, but it's one word in Hebrew. It's the word hallelujah. Now, the word hallelujah in Hebrew is actually a compound word. It takes the beginning of that word, hallelu, which means praise, and yah, which is the condensed version of Yahweh, and that together means praise Yahweh, praise the Lord. That's the theme of our psalm. It begins and ends with praise. And so the question I want to ask as we do this mini devotional together today from Psalm 148 is this: who or what should praise the Lord? This is what Psalm 148 answers for us. Who or what should praise the Lord? And as we unpack this, we're going to break down this little devotional into two different sections. The first one begins by talking about praise from the heavens. That's number one. And number two, we're going to look at praise from the earth. So let's go ahead and start by focusing on the first half of this psalm, praise from the heavens. Notice how it begins. It says, praise the Lord. In Hebrew, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I think of the word heaven, my mind automatically transports to a place where, you know, we're floating in the clouds, God is there, there's a big pearly gate, right? The angels are there, people are playing the harp all the time. That's what I think about when I think of the word heaven. But in the Bible, the word heaven, it can be much broader than that. Yes, there's a narrow kind of version of that, the place where God resides, his dwelling place, but the word heaven or heavens in Scripture can also just mean everything above us. It's everything in the realm above. And in Psalm 148, when it begins, it's referencing in the broader way everything that's above us. And here, it does include where God lives, yes. It does include where angels are, but it also includes where the sun, moon, and stars are. And in this psalm, the psalmist begins by issuing a command that everything above us in the realm of the heavens ought to worship the Lord. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. Everything above in the heavens should worship Yahweh. And so notice how then it unpacks some of the inhabitants of the heavens, picking up from verse 2. It says, praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Now notice here how the psalmist, as he's talking about the inhabitants of the heavenly realm above us, he's borrowing from aspects of Genesis. You remember the Genesis creation story. We read all about when God created the heavens and the earth, right? And when God creates the heavens, we read about things like him placing the sun, moon, and stars in their place. And this is what the psalmist is referencing. He says that everything above us ought to praise the Lord. Now, we should ask the question, why? When we ask the question, who or what should praise the Lord, we need to ask then, well, why? Why should the heavens above praise the Lord? Well, the psalmist is going to give us an answer to that question. He's going to tell us why the heavens above should praise the Lord. He said, for he commanded, God commanded, and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. You see, the truth is, everything above us in the heavenly realms, they ought to praise the Lord because he is the one that created everything above, and he's the one that sustains everything that's happening in the universe. You realize, we right now are sitting on a floating space rock that's moving 67,000 miles an hour around the sun. One minor change in that, and we're all toast. Like, we're done for. But we have a God who created all this. He created the heavens. He created all that we see above us, and he sustains it all, which means we can live with confidence and comfort knowing that there is a creator and sustainer who is the Lord. He is Yahweh. And this is why when we ask the question, who or what should praise the Lord, we can definitively say the heavens should praise the Lord because he is the creator and sustainer of all that is above us. That's how the psalmist begins. It begins by saying, who or what should praise the Lord? The heavens should praise the Lord. That's number one. But secondly, as we continue in this psalm, you'll notice number two, he now talks about the praise from the earth. Praise from the earth. Notice verse 7. He says, praise the Lord from the earth. Now, unlike the heavens, which are above us, that's the realm above, the earth is the realm below. That's where we reside. It's where all the things that we see around us are. This is the earth. And the psalmist commands everybody in the realm of the earth to worship Yahweh as well. And then just like the beginning, notice how he starts listing some of the inhabitants of the earth. It's very similar, the beginning and end of this psalm. He says this, picking up in verse 7, at the end of verse 7. He says, praise the Lord, you great sea creatures in all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Now, when I read that, it's a little strange, isn't it? Like, these are some weird things that the psalmist chooses to reference here. It's like he's picking intentionally things that are wild and dangerous and kind of chaotic. Look at this. He talks about great sea creatures. Talks about the deeps, right? And the stuff that lives in deep, deep water, like that's creepy stuff. He talks about fire, stormy wind, beasts, creeping things. Now, it's important to note he is drawing a little bit from Genesis, but it seems like the psalmist here in Psalm 148, he's mentioning certain inhabitants of the earth that are wild and dangerous. Why would he talk about things that are wild and dangerous when he talks about this psalm? Well, I think it's because when we look at some of these things, right? Great sea creatures, deep waters, fire, stormy wind, beasts, creeping, like when we see stuff like this, we look at things that we can't control. We can't control this stuff. But these things are wild and chaotic. We can't control or tame any of these things, but God can. And God does. You see, the reality is, this is the point, God is sovereign over everything, including the things that are wild and chaotic in this world, right? So let me give you some examples. We recently had some hurricanes in Florida. Do you think that those things happened outside of God's control? Is our view of God so small that those things he's powerless to do anything about? No. God is sovereign over that. You look at the fires in Maui. Is God not sovereign over those things as well? How about COVID? Do you think that happens outside of God's control? No. Cancer. No, I mean, you could continue to name all the kinds of wild and terrible and crazy things that happen. Nothing that happens on this realm happens outside of God's control. Now, you might go, okay, Pastor Joe, great point, but let me push back. If there's a good God, there's a loving God, like we say in the church, then why do these things happen? Why would he allow, if he's sovereign over them, why would he allow them to happen? And what I would just say in response to that is I think we have to understand what Scripture teaches and proclaims to us. First of all, if you feel like you're in a vantage point to make a judgment call on what's right or what the way things should happen are, you have a very low view of God and a very high view of yourself. Scripture is clear. God's thoughts and God's ways are far higher than ours. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great are his thoughts above our thoughts and his ways above our ways. First of all, God is way smarter, way better than anything we can imagine. So don't presume to know better than God. That's one thing that's important to know. But also, we have to reconcile with the fact that if God is good, it means that he must have a morally sufficient reason to allow the things that he allows to happen. In fact, God has this amazing way in Scripture of taking that which is bad and turning it for good. I mean, you think about the worst thing in the world that could possibly happen. How about the death of God's son? It's tremendously evil. What did God do with it? He turned it for good. So the truth is, God uses anything for his sovereign purposes. We don't always understand why bad things happen, why God permits things to transpire. I don't presume to know that, but I am commanded to trust God in the mystery and believe that he knows better and he's going to do that which is right. This is what Abraham did. When Abraham was looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, he was saying, God, this doesn't seem right. Like, he was asking God questions. Will you destroy the city if this is the case or if this is the case? And God kept explaining and explaining. And finally, Abraham just threw up his hands and said, shall not the judge of all the earth do that which is right? You see, the truth is, there are aspects of your life right now that are wild and chaotic. Things you can't control. Hardships, suffering, pain, trials. I don't know why God is allowing you to go through some of those things right now. I don't know, but I do know he's sovereign over those things. I do know that everything that transpires down here ultimately submits to God. And so I can encourage you to just trust the Lord through it. Will you trust him? Will you believe that the judge of all the earth will do that which is right? That's what we see in the psalm. He summons all the things that are wild and chaotic to praise the Lord because ultimately they submit to Yahweh. But notice he doesn't stop there. There are more inhabitants of the earth, and he starts to bring it a little more close to home. He says, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, of Yahweh. You see, all people everywhere, regardless of power or status or age or any other category where you try to separate people from other people, all people are summoned to praise the Lord. And so the question we should ask is, well, why? Once again, why should all people praise the Lord? Well, the psalmist, he gives us two reasons. First of all, everyone should praise the Lord because, for his name alone is exalted and his majesty is above earth and heaven. I hope you realize this morning that God is greater than anything else that you can imagine. He is the greatest. He alone is worthy of praise because everything that you might praise otherwise would be lesser to him. Everything. I mean, all right, who here is kind of pumped about what happened this past week with the Lions? I mean, come on. Yeah, that's a big deal. I watched the whole game. I couldn't fall asleep after because I was pumped. Had to get up early, and it kind of, you know, made me a little annoyed because I was so juiced up. But that was awesome. Lions pulled it off. I don't care about the receivers, you know, and you can say all that. Like, no, the Lions pulled off a win. Big deal. And a lot of you were like shouting the praises of the Lions online, when you're watching TV. Okay, that's awesome. Lions are great. Infinitely higher is the Lord. Are we tweeting and posting about how great the Lord is? Are we shouting and singing God's praises in our homes? He is far greater, and therefore he is worthy of our highest praise. That's number one, but that's not the only reason. The psalmist continues. And so now, as we wrap up this psalm, I want you to lean in for a moment and look at the very last verse, verse 14. The psalmist gives one more reason why all people should praise the Lord. He said, he has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. Now, at first glance, this might seem random. Like, what does it mean that God has raised up a horn for his people? What's that all about? Well, in the ancient world, a horn. I'm not talking about a trumpet. I'm talking about like an animal horn. That was a symbol of power, of strength, of victory, of salvation. So like if there was a battle and maybe there was a decisive victory where one side defeated the other side, the symbol they would often talk about is raising up a horn, right? Raising up a horn of power, of strength, of victory, of salvation. That's what the biblical image of a horn means. And so God has raised up a horn of salvation for his people. But how? How has God done this? Well, this is where it gets even more interesting. If you read your Bible and you look at different references in the Old Testament to God raising up a horn, oftentimes it won't reference just strength or salvation. It will actually reference an individual. So if you read the book of Daniel, horns are often a symbol of a great king. Or if you read the beginning of 1 Samuel and Hannah has a song about God raising up a horn of salvation. Again, it's a reference to an individual. And so what I'm trying to tell you here is Psalm 148 is a very important psalm within the Psalter because it points to a central truth that I think embodies the entire book of Psalms, right? It centers on this one idea. And we, this morning, have a reason to worship because God has raised up a horn of salvation, an individual, a king. And spoiler alert, that king's name is Jesus. That's what Psalm 148 is all about. At the very end, he calls for the people of earth to praise Yahweh because God has sent his son, Jesus. Jesus lived a perfect life. He lived the life you could never live. He was perfectly obedient to his Father in this life. And then he died a brutal death that you deserve and I deserve. Jesus was taken, beaten, mocked, scourged, and marched up a hill. They drove nails through his hands and his feet and hung him there to bleed and die. Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sin. We deserve to be on that cross, but Jesus took our place. Hear this, when the enemy thought that he had won a decisive victory, 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. God raised up a horn of salvation for his people. Jesus Christ was raised for us so that we could have life, abundant life. And so this morning, the psalmist is telling us that we have a reason to worship the Lord today. Because he has raised up his son Jesus, our horn of salvation, and through faith in him, we can be spared from the coming wrath. And we can be brought into relationship with God. Man, how incredible is this psalm? So when we go back to the question, who or what should praise the Lord? There is a clear answer. The answer, according to this psalm, is this. All creation should praise the Lord. The heavens above should praise the Lord because he created all that above us and he sustains it all. And all the inhabitants of the earth should praise the Lord because the Lord is higher than anything else we might seek to praise in this world. And because God has raised up a horn of salvation. His name is Jesus. And because of that, we should respond and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord in this place. And so now that we know that we ought to praise the Lord, now that we know why we should praise the Lord, let's do it. Let's stand together and let's respond and praise the Lord in song.